It's 9:30 o'clock, August 13th, and your Muckluck Telegraph reports what's new from Alaskan border to border. The Bank of Fairbanks presents Tundra Topics, a nightly service except Sunday for your information and convenience. It's another of the many services to thousands of Alaskan friends of the Bank of Fairbanks. Sourdough Thomas Wiedemann, better known as the Klondike Kid, who took part in the Dawson Gold Rush when he was but 16 years of age, is now writing a book of Klondike memories to be entitled The Klondike Kid in Alaska. During his years in the North, Wiedemann kept a diary filled with items of interest, which he had always intended to collect and publish in book form. Shortly after leaving the North, he worked on the editorial staff of the Seattle Star. Wiedemann has also held editorial positions on the Vancouver and California papers. The second edition of a previous book, which was noted by Tundra Topics last year, entitled Saga of Alaska, is now on the presses. This summer marked the end of the trail for many northern old-timers. Among those who passed away recently, we note that Jack Curley, who was with Jack Regan at Nome in the early days, died at his home in San Francisco on July 24th. Shortly before leaving Alaska, Curley ran a hotel in Valdez. J. Walter Driscoll, who went to the Klondike when only 19 years of age, died in his California home at the age of 69 on July 26th. Daniel McFadden died in Seattle on July 25th at the age of 80. McFadden was a retired Alaskan miner who had been associated with the Ruby Mines for 40 years before going to Alaska, or rather Seattle, 7 years ago. He was born in County Donegal, Ireland, and migrated to the States more than 50 years ago. According to an article in the Dawson Weekly News Discovery Day celebration, commemorating the discovery of gold on Bonanza Creek is drawing close. Members of the various committees of the Yukon Order of Pioneers have been working hard to perfect plans for the big day. A sports program and fair will be held at Minto Park in Dawson during the day, and the climax of the festivities will be a ball in the community hall the same evening. The main run of red salmon in the Nooshigak section of Bristol Bay mistimed this season and began 3 days after the season closed on July 20th. As a result, the salmon catch was not particularly good this year in the Nooshigak section, although it bettered last year's very poor catch. Good catches were reported in the Naknek, Egagik, and Ugashik sections. Visitors in Fairbanks from out of town include Deputy Marshal T.R. McRoberts from Bethel and Alex Matheson of Flat, leaving town today with Northern Consolidated Airways, where James Huntington, who flew to Koyokuk, Frank Nash of the Alaska Road Commission to Long Creek, and Olga Erickson was a passenger to Ruby. Flying outside with Pan American World Airways were A.G. Vachon, Tanana Trader, and Mrs. Ernest Patty from Coal Creek. Travelers scheduled to fly to the Kuskokwim on Northern Consolidated's mail flight tomorrow are Mr. and Mrs. C.F. Uzel and Carl Holt of Lake Minchumina. Mrs. Richard Duncan, who will be discharged from the hospital tomorrow, will return to her home at McGrath. E.A. Schwinge, now at Big Delta, announces that the Mobile Health Unit will be at Tanana Bridge on Saturday morning to meet the residents of Tetlin. Joe Burns at Eva Creek is expecting the arrival of John Burns and Blanche Osborne tomorrow morning at Ferry. Your financing problems and requests for information are always welcomed at the Bank of Fairbanks. Their slogan, as always, is at your service anytime. Call them or drop in when you're in town and listen to Tundra Topics presented by the Bank of Fairbanks at this time tomorrow evening.
The Sky Lounge and the Cottage present The Sports Page. One thing leads to another, so goes the old saying, and it's certainly true on 2nd Avenue, for the good times you always find at the Cottage lead right upstairs to more of the same at the Sky Lounge. In fact, any night of the week you can enjoy a doubleheader of enjoyment at either place, well known as the spots where the friendliest people in town gather. So when you start out for evenings of good times, make your starting points the friendliest places in town, the Cottage and the Sky Lounge on 2nd Avenue, next to the Lacey Street Theater. Now the news in the world of sports. The Brooklyn Dodgers slugged out a 10-5 win over the Boston Braves today to gain ground on all three of their first division rivals. The runner-up St. Louis Cardinals and Cincinnati were not scheduled, while the third-place New York Giants lost a 5-2 decision to Philadelphia. So, by winning, Brooklyn increased its lead over St. Louis to 3.5 games. They now lead New York by 7 lengths and are 7.5 games ahead of fourth-place Boston. The Dodgers flattened Boston's Johnny Sane with a 4-run outburst in the first inning. But in the fifth, the Braves went ahead 5-4 with a 4-run rally that was featured by Bama Rowell's home run with 2 on and a home run by Bob Elliott. However, the Dodgers came right back in the last of the fifth to score 5 runs and take command of the game. 3 Boston errors set up the rally, and it was climaxed by Carl Farrillo's single with the bases loaded. Relief pitcher Clyde King was the winning pitcher, while reliever Cy Johnson of Boston was pinned with the loss. The New York Giants dropped their second straight to the Philadelphia Phils, 5-2. Rookie Bobby Thompson hit his 23rd homer of the year. Pittsburgh trounced Chicago 10-2. Dixie Howell clouted 2 4 basers, his only ones of the year, and the second one came with the bases loaded to climax a 6-run seventh inning. Billy Cox and Ralph Kiner also hit homers for Pittsburgh. Kiner's homer was his 29th of the year. In the American League, only one afternoon game was played. The pace-setting New York Yankees trounced Philadelphia 8-2, scoring 7 runs in the first 2 innings, mostly at the expense of Carl Scheib. Rookie Vic Rashi, up from Portland in the Pacific Coast League, held the A's to 7 safeties to gain his 6th straight win against no defeats. Tonight in the American League, Detroit is playing a twilight doubleheader at St. Louis, Washington is at Boston, and Cleveland at Chicago. And here are some late evening game scores from St. Louis. The Detroit Tigers trounced St. Louis 7-1 in the first game of a twilight doubleheader tonight. Freddie Hutchinson held the Browns to 9 hits and pitched shutout ball until the ninth inning to get his 12th win against 5 defeats. Hutchinson also was a big gun for the Tigers at the plate, hitting a double and 2 singles. On the Pacific Coast, while Los Angeles rides complacently on top of the heap in the Pacific Coast League pennant competition, Portland has been putting on a drive that might develop the Beavers into a dark horse contender. The bustling Beavers were hovering just above the cellar when they began their upswing. They bounced San Diego 2-1 in opening a series last night, making it their 13th victory in the last 14 games and giving them a third-place tie in the standings with Oakland. More strength will be added to Portland's pitching department this week as Tommy Bridges, former Detroit curveballer, and Roy Helser, star southpaw, were expected to return to mound duty after being sidelined with injuries for 2 or 3 weeks. Los Angeles maintained its 6.5-game lead over second-place San Francisco by smothering the crosstown rival Hollywood Stars 8-2. San Francisco, fighting to maintain its spot next to the leader, took Oakland 4-1 to open their series. It was a big evening for Seattle's catcher Raleigh Hemsley as he scored two runs and batted in 2 more wins to bring the Rainiers from behind to win over Sacramento 4-3 in their series opener. The game was put on ice for Seattle in the eighth when Hemsley's 4th consecutive hit, a double, drove in 2 runs. Glenn Russell drove in all 3 of Sacramento's runs. The college all-star football squad suffered a loss today when backfield star Glenn Davis, the Army All-American, hurt his right knee in practice. The all-stars will meet the Chicago Bears August 22nd. Whether Davis will recover by then remains to be seen. The $25,000 added Drexel handicap at Washington Park today was won by Cosmic Bomb, owned by William Helis. Calumet Farms Fervent, the 3-5 favorite, was second. New lightweight champion Ike Williams, who won the title by knocking out Bob Montgomery, has been signed for a rematch with Montgomery January 16th at New York's Madison Square Garden. From Los Angeles, former heavyweight boxing contender of 20 years ago, George Godfrey, died today at the age of 50. Godfrey claimed he made $500,000 in the ring between 1922 and 1932, but death came to the big Negro in a squalid room. He had been under treatment for a heart inflammation since last April. Here are fight results of last night. Elizabeth, New Jersey, Tommy Bell, 149.25, Youngstown, Ohio, and Buddy Farrell, 157.5, of Newark, New Jersey, drew in 10 rounds. At Los Angeles, John Thomas, 142, Los Angeles, technical knockout over Arturo Barron, 139 of Los Angeles, the TKO coming in the 7th round. At Sacramento, California, Newsboy Milich, 190, Sacramento, and John Donnelly, 185, Los Angeles, drew in 10 runs. At Fresno, California, Tony Oliveira, 123, San Francisco, outpointed Jerry Ramsey, 127, of Vancouver, in 10 rounds. At New Bedford, Massachusetts, Pat Demers, 138, of Brockton, outpointed Jimmy McLarnon, 134.5, New Bedford, in 10 rounds. And there you have the highlights in the world of sports. You'll have a highlight of good fun any evening of the week when you make your stops at the Cottage and the Sky Lounge on 2nd Avenue, the place where you always meet many of your friends and always make new ones, the friendliest places in town, the Sky Lounge and the Cottage. Make these two spots your starting points for highlights when you go out for evenings of recreation. The Sky Lounge and the Cottage on 2nd Avenue, next to the Lacey Street Theater. And listen again tomorrow night, same time, for highlights from the world of sports.